Good morning, diners and travelers. You're listed on the menu with Ann and Peter Haig. And buongiorno, Pietro.
Buongiorno, Pietro. Buongiorno, Anna. And we are, we are, of course, celebrating the fact that we're multilingual, since we just got back from a wonderful Christmas holiday in Rome, when we had a wonderful time, although it rained. It was a whole lot warmer. It didn't snow. The people were friendly. The people were smart. The people were happy. Everyone was having a good time celebrating Christmas the way it should be celebrated, and of course we were doing the same thing too. Yeah. So we brought back some memories for you, some places that you might like to go at this time of the year, or other times of the year for that matter, as we always do.
Okay, we're going to start with, we might have a little warning in here, that this first restaurant, which I love, absolutely loved, is not all that easy to get to, and it's in an area of Rome that you wouldn't expect to find a really fabulous restaurant
They call it up and coming. It's hard to distinguish it from fast declining, quantity of graffiti being about the same. But this neighborhood called Pignetto is apparently being, and the word we would call it is gentrified. And
not quite.
and it's on its way.
Almost trendy, but not quite.
But this restaurant is definitely on the leading edge. And we had a wonderful time. Anne was about to kill me by the time we got there, because it turned out to be a much longer walk than we thought. But within 5 minutes of a glass of wine and a taste of some of the wonderful food, she was in a great mood again, and we had a truly wonderful time, which we, of course, have duly recorded for you in the interview which follows.
On the menu has had probably the biggest surprise, I think, ever in this restaurant we found called Primo Al Pignetto. Is that correct?
Pignetto.
Pignetto, so it's N-G, G-N. Anyhow.
We should quickly mention, this is Peter just correcting, we had a very, very pleasant surprise. You just said a surprise.
No, I mean, we absolutely loved this restaurant, and it took us so long to get here, we were not so sure. But, and it's also in a very unusual part of Rome, but we're going to actually have one of the owners, Massimo Terzulli, tell us about where are we and how old is your restaurant?
About 3 years old.
Where are we? Dove?
It's neighbor Pignetto in Roma.
Ah, see. But yeah. it is not really one of the fashionable neighborhoods in Rome, is it?
No.
But you are a pioneer in making this a very trendy, cool destination. Is this true?
Yes.
Well, the place is wonderful, and the food is wonderful. And let's thank also, we have the chef, Marco Galotta, who is going to talk to us a little bit too. Marco, we love your food. You said it is not new creative, it is tradizionale. But your interpretation, is that true?
Okay, sì, è un'interpretazione della cucina tradizionale da me rivisitata. Insomma.
Personal interpretation of the traditional Italian kitchen, just a little bit revisited.
Now, is this a dream that you two have realized?
È un sogno che ho realizzato, sì, faceva parte di un percorso personale, no? Percorso professionale.
Yes, this was a personal path and of a career and of an intention of what he likes to do.
Also, you both have worked in restaurants for quite a long time, right? Marco, have you a hero of other chefs? Who do you like as a chef?
Ce ne sono un paio che mi piacciono da morire. Uliassi, mi piace da morire. Gianfranco Vissani, come stile. Iaccarino. Quelli, insomma, i nomi che hanno fatto grande la cucina italiana. Insomma, gli storici, Marchesi.
Uliassi.
Yes, he has a few of big chefs all over the world he likes most, like Vissani and Julias, Marchesi, Iaccarino.
And you said you also like Massimo Bottura. We were just listening to him on the program before you came to speak to us.
Massimo Bottura
at Osteria Francescana.
Sì, no, Massimo Bottura. Massimo però è un cuoco all'avanguardia, no? È un cuoco all'avanguardia, è un cuoco che usa tanta tecnica in cucina, quindi va fuori da quella che è, diciamo, per me, no? per quello che piace a me come stile di cucina, va fuori quello che è la tradizione vera e propria, per cui si è avvicinato un po' a questa nuova cucina che è un po' la derivazione di quella spagnola, che non ha una vera e propria cucina di appartenenza alla Spagna come tradizione, ha poche cose, per cui si è dovuta per forza reinventare un suo stile di cucina. Massimo Bottura ha seguito quel filone che tre dei quattro che ho nominato sono forse gli chef italiani che hanno portato in alto la tradizione italiana, non l'innovazione.
Massimo Bottura got his personal and technical style of a kind of nouvelle cuisine, something new, something similar, something innovative. I like most the tradition, so that's why I talked about some of the most traditional big chef in Italy.
Now Rome, to us, it seems that much of the restaurant cuisine is really very traditional and probably not as good as visitors to Italy typically expect. But here was so different. Massimo, are there other restaurants like yours growing up in Rome that are, if you like, breaking the traditional rules, being somewhat more innovative and as a result more interesting that you know about? Are there other restaurants that are following a similar path to Primo?
Sì, volevo sapere se ci sono altri. Purtroppo per i turisti parlo in italiano adesso, poi semmai Cristina è meglio che traduce lei. Brevissimo, sarò brevissimo. Per i turisti purtroppo la ristorazione romana, che è in centro, dove vanno la maggior parte dei turisti, non è molto buona, non è di livello molto buono. I migliori chef, i migliori ristoranti si trovano sempre adesso e oggi sempre di più un po' nella periferia, e questo è un po' tutto quello che accade anche nelle altre città.
Okay, in the center of Rome there are a lot of restaurants which have a very low level of kitchen, and this happens in all the biggest cities all over the world. He thinks that the quality is increasing just in far away from the center of Rome, in the neighborhood of Rome, okay, far from the center.
And who comes here now? I mean, first of all, I'd like to know what Massimo and Marco did you want to this concept to be? Who do you want to come here? Who did you plan this restaurant to attract?
Sì, vuole sapere perché. Sì, sul nostro concetto di ristorazione, cioè quello che noi vorremmo il nostro cliente, non esiste un nostro cliente. Esiste il cliente che vuole stare bene, mangiare bene, bere bene, vuol trovare un'atmosfera giusta e soprattutto anche pagare il giusto in equilibrio.
Okay, there's not a perfect customer we like to have. Anyway, we like people who want to stay, to have a nice atmosphere, to have a nice time here, to drink good, to eat something which is good, and to pay also the right price.
It's reasonable. It's exciting, this menu. The wine list is wonderful. And Peter, did you want to say something?
Well, I think, listeners, the word is, if you stay in central Rome, you will find traditional food tending to be touristy, tending to be expensive, and you might not enjoy. But if you're prepared to adventure into the periphery of the center of Rome, which is where we are today, then you will find dining adventures like Primo, but Primo has to be the first one you come to. Now, it's not the easiest place to find. We made the mistake of taking the metro to San Giovanni del Laterano, and then we walked, and it was a very long way. Except for a taxi, using public transport, how would people get to you?
Ma non siamo molto lontani dal centro. Ci sono 4,8 km dal centro di Roma al centro storico proprio. E Roma è una città molto grande, quindi ha un anello di 100 km. E 4 chilometri sono veramente pochi per le persone che a Roma vogliono spostarsi. Siamo abituati, vivendo a Roma, a spostarsi di 10-20 chilometri da dove viviamo e abitiamo. Quindi non è quello il problema, anzi, fuori dal centro ci si muove meglio.
He says this is not a problem because Rome is a very big city, so we are not that far away from the center of Rome, just 4 kilometers. So Romans are quite they used to make very, very much kilometers every day to move to the city. So this is not the real problem.
You just have to know what you're doing. I would like next to address the wine program. The wine list is surprisingly extensive and sophisticated. And Massimo, would you like to explain your intention in drafting this wine list?
Ma la carta dei vini è molto personale, dipende proprio dal sommelier, cioè dal responsabile che la fa. Qui è stata fatta una carta dove abbraccia un po' tutta l'Italia principalmente, più qualche attenzione in regioni diverse come la Borgogna, dove chiaramente il Pinot Nero là è nato, è di lì, e quindi diciamo oltre a coprire tutta l'Italia ci sono delle regioni all'estero. Il perché ci sia una carta così invece grande, estesa, che secondo me è ancora in fase di sviluppo. Quello che vorrei è che diminuisse di numero e che rimanessero solo le cose che effettivamente più ci piacciono tra quelle che facciamo girare. Ma di vini ne facciamo girare molti di più in un anno, arriviamo a 1200 etichette diverse.
Ok, the choice of the wine card is very, very personal, and that's why it's so sophisticated. The reason why it's so big is because we like to touch every single place of Italy, and some also from France, from Bourgogne, where the Pinot Noir is the best grape you can find. And anyway, during the year we don't have on the same wines. We change our wines very, very often. The number is almost the same, but we like to change, and the dream is that we like to make a wine card with few wines, but very interesting, and the ones we like most.
Now, the one, Massimo, you chose for us was grown within tens of kilometers of here in the province of Lazio, which is not terribly well known for wines, but it was a very special wine and a very special grape. Would you like to comment on that?
Solo a quel vino? O riguardo
ai vini
del Lazio?
Talking about only that wine?
Yes.
Voi avete provato un grande vino del Lazio, che è un cesanese di un ragazzo giovane, Damiano Ciolli, molto bravo, produce da circa 10 anni il vino, è arrivato a ottenere vini di altissima qualità, vengono scambiati per grandi vini del nord, del Piemonte, come il Barolo. Ha portato il cesanese, che è l'uva di quel vino che avete bevuto voi, del Circium, che è il suo cru preferito, a un livello molto alto. Nel Lazio non ce ne sono molti altri. Quelli che ci sono oggi, diciamo che almeno 10-15 grandi vini ci sono. Noi chiaramente li abbiamo, stando qui nel Lazio, cerchiamo di proporli.
Okay, the wine you had is a farm of Lazio, which is this one is done by a young guy, which is called Damiano Ciolli, which is a very, very good wine guy, sorry, and is increasing, and so his Cesanese is becoming always the best. The one you had, it's a cru, so it's the one which is made with the best grapes. And
Christina, we must mention the fact that you are Christina, yeah. And you are the one doing all this translating.
Okay, there are very few guys which makes the wine as well as Damiano.
Oh, it was beautiful. You're not off the hook, Marco. Could you talk about the food you prepared for us? We had the smoked artichokes, stopped with, this English translation said, kneaded paste cheese, which is not what I understand it is. What is that dish?
L'idea era quella di, come al solito, utilizzare un prodotto di tradizione, insomma, il carciofo a Roma se ne mangiano a quintali, e di renderlo, e di fare un piatto vegetariano dove ci potesse essere l'abbinamento anche di questa burrata. La affumicatura nasceva per questo.
Oh, burrata.
La affumicatura nasceva per questo, perché permette al carciofo di sostenere la città della burrata. Questa era un po' l'idea iniziale. E poi si è finita con di mettere anche un po' di noce per dare quella parte amarostica al piatto che il carciofo aveva perso in affumicatura.
The idea is to take something which is traditionally Roman, like the artichoke, and to make also a vegetarian dish, a vegetarian choice on the menu, and to use something which is fine with the burrata, which is this cheese which filled the artichoke. We thought to smoke the artichoke. That's why we do it. Anyway,
okay.
It's something that is traditionally Roman and a little
it
bit
is.
Creative.
Well, now we love the rabbit salad with wild fennel seeds and mixed aromatic greens. But the best thing, as we're going to talk about, is boiled veal salad with these special beans and potatoes dressed with herb sauce.
And I have to say, the boiled veal sounds like something my mother would have made, but it was nothing like this.
No, it was spectacular. What is the idea behind this veal salad, because we already talked about the rabbit salad, and those little special beans?
Sì, vuoi sapere perché il bollito?
Perché
il bollito fa parte dell'inizio del locale, è un piatto che sta qui da sempre, da quando abbiamo aperto.
Venezia? No? I mean, where is it regionally? It's locale.
In ogni tradizione italiana c'è il bollito. Non è una tradizione legata solo a Venezia, insomma, sì. Quelli di Veneti li conosciamo tutti quanti, ma anche a Roma c'è tradizione del bollito. Ma è la provocazione, nasce così questo piatto, no? Nasce con il concept del locale, per far sì di far riscoprire quei piatti che la gente non mangia più. Era un po' questo l'intento inizialmente era con la lingua e poi è diventato con la spalla di vitello. Proprio nel bollito forse ritroviamo proprio tutto il concetto di prima. Quel piatto infatti è il piatto che sta qui da sempre, da quando abbiamo aperto. L'intenzione della cucina di prima, di riproporre la tradizione, riscoprire quelle cose che non si mangiano più perché si è un po' persa l'abitudine, e riproporla in chiave moderna per far sì che la gente l'apprezzi.
Ok, l'insalata di bollito it's a reinterpretation of something which is very very traditional in every place of Italy.
Yeah, but this is special. It's not bollito misto. This is fabulous.
Yes, every city of Rome got this in his kitchen tradition, the boiled meat. And then the insalata displayed means the concept of primo, because it's something very a little provocation.
You know, I mean, the presentation is different from the usual bolito that you have.
Yes,
it just,
obviously,
it's beautiful.
Yes.
All the presentations I might mention.
Yes, at the beginning it was made with the tongue, but then we changed. So, because the tongue is more traditional than the veal we are doing now.
Oh, but the seasoning was absolutely spectacular, and those beans are special. They come from where?
Bello.
Okay, Umbria.
From
okay.
Center of Italy.
Umbria, okay. And then we had, some of the greens came with those too. And then we had pasta is also a specialty here, and we had a beautiful pasta. With really pronounced bacon, and then we had main courses. We had beef cheek with lentils and thyme, and a roasted lamb leg with aromatic herbs, potatoes, and artichokes. All these dishes are just beautifully presented and perfectly seasoned. You have a sense of exactly the right amount of seasoning to use and just the right herbs to use with all these dishes. How did you get this experience? How long have you been cooking?
Quanto è che sto in cucina io? 20 anni. 20 years.
You look too young for that. 20 years, he says.
Ce n'ho 35, quindi insomma. Si sta in cucina da piccoli. Si incomincia da piccoli. Io sono stato uno molto fortunato pure però, perché ho lavorato sempre da bambino con personaggi importanti, insomma, gente molto brava, tra cui Angelo Paracucchi, insomma, che in Italia è stato quello che ha dato un po' l'interpretazione della nuova tradizione, quello che ha ritirato fuori ciò che la gente non mangiava più e l'ha reso nella ristorazione alta cucina. Quindi diciamo la mia iniziazione è stata con uno dei più bravi chef italiani, che mo non c'è più, ma insomma che.
Okay, he was very very young when he started, and he's been very lucky because he had the chance to work with people with a great experience, who try to research the traditional dishes and try to transform them in something of a high, very high level.
Ricordi il nome?
The name of this guy is Angelo Paracucci.
Paracucci.
Now, Massimo, we corresponded for several weeks before we came, and you explained that only at lunchtime, only on Sunday, do you serve the full menu. So Sunday lunchtime is when we're here. So you serve a slightly different menu for lunch during the week, but then a full menu in the evening. Now, are you open every day?
Noi siamo aperti e noi chiudiamo solo il lunedì. Quindi on the Monday it's closed. Facciamo un menù diverso solamente nei giorni di martedì, mercoledì, giovedì e venerdì. Quindi quattro giorni la settimana, la mattina a pranzo, facciamo un menù diverso, che è un menù più da lavoro, cioè per la gente che lavora e può stare poco a tavola. Solo quello la nostra, diciamo, differenza con gli altri giorni e la sera. La sera c'è un menù più grande perché la gente può scegliere, ha più tempo per mangiare, ha più tempo per stare a tavola. Quindi questa è la differenza, è più per il cliente che per noi. Ma l'origine dei piatti è sempre quella, le materie prime sono sempre quelle, noi siamo sempre gli stessi, attaccati al nostro terroir nella cucina, nella cantina.
Okay, yes, we choose to make a restricted menu during the week from Tuesday to Friday just for customers, because during the week the people who come are people who work, so they haven't enough time to stay at the table. So that's why we do a easier menu, but the things we cook are always the same, the quality is the same, and also we are the same. While on the other days maybe people have much more time to stay on the table. And so that's why we make the full menu.
So unless you like to stay up late at night, I would suggest you come at lunch at 1 or 1:30. Expect to be done about 4. We're staying a little longer than that because we're interviewing after we had lunch. But there was a table here when we arrived, and they left about 30 minutes ago, which was after 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So this is half a day of your visit to Rome, if not more. And it's a half a day we would encourage you to make, because we had a wonderful time, and we enjoyed it so much. We enjoyed meeting all of you. So Christina, Marco, and Massimo, thank you so much for joining us on the menu. A last word, Miss Anne?
I was just going to give the email or the website, which is Primo, P-R-I-M-O, Alpigneto, all one word, Primo Alpigneto. .it, and remind you, closed Monday, but any other time, come running. And thank you so much, Christina, for translating, and Marco for cooking, and Massimo for doing the wine and being a perfect host. And we love this place, and I hope everybody who comes to Rome will come here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Ciao, grazie.
Bye.
And I think we should make a point here that although it's difficult to get to if you're not living in that neighborhood, and of course if you're living in that neighborhood, it's very easy to get to, but people told us over and over again, and we found it to be true, it's you eat much better outside of the dead center of the city. Do you agree, Rabbit?
Oh, yes. And Massimo and Marco said exactly that in the interview, you will recall, as passing along. So they're in an affordable area. They're in an area that they like to live in, and they're doing just a splendid job, and you'll have a splendid time if you go there, I can assure you.
And now it's time to take a break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig, and we're continuing on our Roman voyage, taking you to two other places that are, I'd say, don't miss places, because they really are solid traditional Roman food and in interesting areas.
Yeah, they're definitely in places where you'll want to be. First up, Paris Ristorante, which is just about 60 or 70 meters from the main entrance of Santa Maria.
In Trastevere.
In Trastevere, a church you'll certainly want to visit, square you'll want to visit as well. And
that was the first church in Rome, was it?
It wasn't. It's one of the most historical. It's not even close to being the first, I don't think. I think it might be the first of an era, and it has some beautiful mosaics to prove it.
Uh-huh.
So its lineage is at least 10 centuries or 1,000 years old, and certainly a place that you'll want to stop by. And Paris Restaurant is just around the corner, as we mentioned in the interview. And then on to a location which almost can't be beat, because a quiet side street within a short stone's throw of the Piazza del Popolo. Santa Maria church on there, and about a 6 or 7 minute walk, I would guess, from the bottom of the Spanish Steps.
Oh, that's right. That's where it is.
This restaurant is called Babette. It seems like it's been there for a long time as well. It turns out that it was founded by two sisters about 5 years ago, or that it had been a restaurant before. So put Paris and Babette on your map already before you forget, and now listen to some reasons why.
On the menu is in Paris, in Rome, but Paris here is the name of a restaurant, and it does not mean Paris the city. It's the family name of the founders of this restaurant, which goes back quite a long way. And we're in Trastevere, which is one of my most favorite sections of Rome. It's across the Tiber and was originally a bohemian and working class neighborhood. It still retains much of that charm. We're going to be talking a member of the family. The family's name is Capolanti, and we're talking to Gianni. His mother, Iole, is the chef and the owner, along with his father, Dario, who's not with us today. And we're going to talk to Gianni about the history of this restaurant, what it's like to eat here, and also talk about some of the dishes. Welcome, Gianni.
Welcome.
Yeah. And we're going to mix it up, talk as you're comfortable with. If it's English you're talking, that's fine. If not, Italian will translate. You're doing fine with English. So tell us, how old is this restaurant?
This restaurant is old 110 years. But our family is the owner of the restaurant from 1984.
Right.
Yeah, 25 years ago.
And it's, the atmosphere is very typical of this section of Rome, right?
Yeah, this is a typical area, very characteristic. And yeah, the restaurant is a classic. The cuisine is a typical. Our specialty are typical dishes.
Well, so the decor, the architecture, it has a lot of the feel and the spirit of this area of Trastevere and of old Rome. And your food is also typical
yeah.
of this area.
Our specialties are typical food. And
just give us some ideas of some of the dishes that you're known for. You do artichokes, right?
Yeah, our specialty are the fries, and the best here for the fries is the artichoke, Jewish artichoke.
Right.
And
which is smashed on the top, then
yeah,
flat.
Yeah, it's possible to have two different type of. Some restaurant makes the artichoke, yes, smashed.
Yes.
And others no, but yeah, we can have the artichoke smashed with other kind of fries. This is our specialty, with zucchini flowers and mozzarella cheese, potato sprocket. Cut fillet is a fish, but is good. It's our specialty in the is
salt?
Salted, yeah, bacalao.
Oh, bacalao. Cod, salted
yeah,
cod.
Yeah.
Oh, and that, now, I mean, is that a specialty too? How is it?
It's our specialty. It's the mix with different pieces of fries. Artichoke and
oh, that's good.
Flour,
I'm having
zucchini,
that.
Zucchini, mozzarella, croquetta, and salted cod fillet. Bacala.
And your mother makes everything. She makes all the sauces.
Yeah, my mother from the morning to evening makes every kind of food and sauce and any kind. Yeah.
Well, now who comes here? Do you have a local clientele?
Yeah, local, but this area is good for tourism, and then we can have local people, and I don't know, people who traveling for work and traveling for tourism. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, are there any other dishes that you think we might be eating today? Oh, what else would we eat, do you think?
What else? All the typical foods, typical pasta and cheese and pepper sauce, matriciana sauce, and carbonara. Yes, the classic typical Roman pasta.
Uh-huh.
And then soup, chickpea soup.
Oh, wow.
And the very particular soup, it's very typical in Rome, is the skate fish soup.
Oh, I want that too.
Yeah, skate fish or ray fish, I don't know.
Skate.
Is a soup with a small pasta inside, quadrucci. And the broccoli, a small pieces of skate fish.
Oh, that's good.
The broth is with a little tomato.
Huh?
It is very good.
It sounds wonderful.
It's a good soup.
What did I see? Were they fried anchovies or sardines?
Oh, anchovies. 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 It's possible to have anchovies fried or in vinegar sauce.
Oh, yeah,
classic
good.
For antipasto, for appetizers.
Now, I'm looking at the menu here, and you also have veal with porcini mushrooms. You have meatballs with
our
chicory.
Specialty for main course is oxtail.
Oh, that's
yeah,
Peter.
It's very typical. It's very typical.
Very Roman,
yeah. And the tripe, Roman
That's,
tripe,
he loves
yeah, with
tripe.
Tomato, and, with tomato and mint, yeah.
Oh.
And but kind of yeah, our specialty for meat is meatballs with
the polpette.
Yeah, polpette
with veal
meatballs.
Fried with
breadcrumbs and fried with chicory, with garlic oil, classic chicory.
I have this terrible feeling we're about to consume somewhere between 8,000 and 10,000 calories.
The typical Roman food is good food. It's strong, strong sauce and strong body.
Yeah. But you are not fat. I mean, I don't see many fat people in Rome.
I make a lot of sport.
I see. What sports do you play?
Both swimming.
Oh, you swim.
Yeah. And soccer.
Only
five players. Uh-huh. Only five players.
Inside or outside or both?
Indoors,
where you play?
No, outside. Okay. In Rome, the weather is good.
I'll have to tell Alberto, my tailor, to tune in, because he was the captain of my soccer team. I played soccer till I was about 56 or 57 years old. Not as well as you do, I'm sure.
No, but I'm 46, but. I think for, I don't know, 46.
In good shape for 46.
A good player, but I don't know.
Well, I'm looking forward to this. I wanted to say that, listeners, I want to give you the website for this, which is www.ristorantepares.com. And it's easy to find in the piazza, little piazza, just outside of the Piazza San Callisto, just outside of the main piazza in Trastevere.
Just to point you in the exactly right direction, if you come out of the entrance to Santa Maria and go straight ahead and turn right at about 50 meters, you'll be in the Piazza San Callisto. And if you look at the numbers, you'll see on the left side, you'll see number 4, number 5, number 6, and then you'll see an awning, and that's number 7, that's Ristorante Paris, which is where we are.
And you know, next I would like to get your mother to come say a word to our listeners. She's right here now. We have her out of the kitchen. Could she come and say a word?
Oh, she's my mother, Iole Cappellanti, the chef of the restaurant, the best person in this restaurant.
Most important person.
Yeah, most important.
Most essential person.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Iole, can you say something to our listeners? Può dire qualcosa per...
Sì, buongiorno, Iole Cappellanti, sono in cucina e spero che voi ci veniate a trovare per assaggiare le nostre specialità.
That's an invitation, listeners, you should not turn down. Do come and taste some of the specialties of this Paris Intrastevere restaurant and get to say hello to Iole.
Welcome back to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig, and we're continuing on our Roman voyage, taking you to two other places that are, I'd say, don't miss places because they really are solid traditional Roman food and in interesting areas.
Yeah, they're definitely in places where you'll want to be. First up, Paris Ristorante, which is just about 60 or 70 meters from the main entrance of Santa Maria
Intrastevere,
a church you'll certainly want to visit, and a square
glorious.
You'll want to visit as well. And
it was the first church in Rome, was it?
It wasn't. I think it's one of the most historical. It's not even close to being the first, I don't think. I think it might be the first of an era, and it has some beautiful mosaics to prove it.
Uh-huh.
So its lineage is at least 10 centuries or 1,000 years old, and certainly a place that you'll want to stop by. And Paris Restaurant is just around the corner, as we mentioned in the interview. And then on to a location which almost can't be beat, because a quiet side street within a short stone's throw of the Piazza del Popolo. Santa Maria church on there. And about a 6 or 7 minute walk, I would guess, from the bottom of the Spanish Steps.
Oh, that's right. That's where it is.
This restaurant is called Babette. It seems like it's been there for a long time as well. It turns out that it was founded by two sisters about 5 years ago, or that it had been a restaurant before. So put Paris and Babette on your map already before you forget. And now listen to some reasons why.
We are just finishing an absolutely luxurious lunch at a place that's so popular and so charming called Babette. And we're going to be interviewing the chef who she's produced wonderful food, but she's also reinvented her life several times over. Let's start. Sylvia. Sylvia, it's San Lorenzo. See? This is like a second career for you. You were a publisher to start with, right?
Yes, this is true, but after 15 years, me and my sister decide that it would be nice to have a change in our life. Also because I have been really passionate about food, and so we decided to open this restaurant.
And I said that the restaurant is called Babette, and Sylvia is in business with her sister Flora, who's really busy. It's so popular that you can hear the noise level, listeners, in the background. And people come here over and over again. You have regular customers every time, right?
Yes, this is true, because I suppose that nowadays you have really, if you want to make this kind of job, you have to be really passionate. You have not to decide to gain a lot of money, because in this way you cannot use the raw materials really you need to make wonderful dish. And also it's popular because it's important for a customer to feel at home. It's important to eat in a good way, but it's also important to have a nice service. You have to feel at home.
Well, now, one of the things I said to you earlier, I was so impressed by the fact that your staff is so welcoming, so warm, and they're very diverse, too. They must be just very happy working here.
Yes, they like to work here because it's like a big family. I don't consider the boys and the girls that work together with us like a simple employers. In some way, they, in all this year, has become like son and daughter of us.
That's great. Now, I know you're open under various circumstances. Today at lunchtime, it's a buffet, and you have buffets through the week and on weekends. Could you just, first of all, I'm amazed how much food everybody eats when they go through the buffet. What were some of the items on the buffet today? Could you tell our listeners? What dishes did you serve today?
But we use always to change our buffet each day because we have a lot of customer that came every day. So there are some dish that usually we made, a lot of vegetable dish and so on. But today, for instance, there is pasta with a sausage ragu. There is an ancient Roman recipe that is semolina, but flavored with truffle. And then a pasta made with sicory and gorgonzola cheese.
Now, we had one dish that was not Roman, but it was a northern Italian specialty with radicchio and pasta. That was delicious.
But, you know, I like to mix the materials. So I suppose because it's nice sometimes to make some different things. And if you know the materials, you can know when one material meets with another one. So I suppose that sicory, radicchio, it would be fit with gorgonzola cheese. So sometimes we try our experiment. And sometimes, most of the time, they succeed in having a good taste.
You had wonderful beets. And in fact, you have a wonderful assortment of vegetables. Is this the secret to the Mediterranean diet, why everyone is so healthy? Lots of vegetables.
Yes, because, you know, nowadays it's very difficult for people to have time to cook by himself vegetable and so on, because it takes a lot of time. Because you have to clean, you have to cut anyway, you have to cook, and you need time to make this. So we used to make a lot of vegetable dish because people like a lot, and also because our vegetables are really fresh, and it's full of taste anyway.
Yeah. And you make all your bread in-house as well.
Yes, we really like to make bread by ourselves because, you know, it's difficult to find good bread in
Rome. I would think that would be difficult, but not difficult.
Because it needs a lot of time because you have to use the levure and you have to wait, and our bread stay till 36 hours before cooking.
Now, Sylvie, I think that things are changing in the kitchen all over the world. Your kitchen is pretty traditional?
A little bit, in the sense that I suppose that the Italian kitchen, but in general Mediterranean kitchen, has a lot of wonderful recipes. So I like to discover the ancient recipe because are really full of taste. And you can start from an ancient recipe and try to make new things, just renewing this kind of dish.
And looking over the whole of the dining scene in Rome, Where are we with restaurants in Rome? Are they different? Are they continuing tradition? What do you see?
I really don't know. It's a difficult answer because there are a lot of people that decide to play as restaurateur. It's difficult because, especially if you want to make a kind of kitchen that is not too much touristic. And nowadays, especially in Rome, the proposal that you find, it's really under the average. It's not really so good. If you want, you can also find some place not too much touristic, which you can really eat in a good way, like, for instance, Trattoria Monti, that it's an ancient trattoria in which you can eat really, really very well. It's not so important, it's not a Michelin star and so on, but you can really eat in a very good way.
Well, I mean, I listened to all the tables, and most of your customers seem to be local. The customers were local. They were not tourists.
I say to you, because there is the place in which you can eat in a very bad way and are really touristic. An average in which you can eat okay, in a nice way, but not so, there is not so satisfaction. And then there are the place in which you can eat in a very good way, like Einsbeck, La Pergola, like Il Pagliaccio and all these places. But, you know, I remember the words of one people that came to us. It was the people that work in Chateau and Relais Company.
Oh, wow.
It's a very important field. And these people said to me, you know, yesterday we have had a nice dinner to Einsbeck. I really like it. But, you know, you can go to Einsbeck one time, twice in a month, to Babette every day, each day.
Now listen, just as a quick note of introduction, Heinz Beck is the Michelin two-star chef at La Pergola in the Hilton Hotel in Rome, just so that you know what Sylvia is speaking about. Now, a couple of things we didn't mention. First of all, it's after 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And officially, Babette is closed at 3 o'clock, but Babette is full. Babette is piene of people who are here, and one table behind us has been here since we arrived at 1 o'clock.
Yes, I know, because people really like to stay here also when they finish to eat, because they like the atmosphere.
And we should stress that it's a buffet lunch. Open every day of the week, Sylvia?
Yes, it's open every day except on Monday morning. And normally we use to have from Tuesday till Friday buffet offer at 12 euros. And in the weekend there is also the buffet, but it's 25 euros because it's comprehensive of cake and wine and all these things and coffee.
And you have a website?
Yes, I have a website. It's Babette Ristorante, Babette, Ristorante.it.
And why are you called Babette?
But because I suppose a lot of people saw that beautiful film, Babette Feast.
Okay.
And we really like the philosophy of Babette, because she liked to make people happy through food. And this is what we do every day.
Well, I think it's wonderful. I think we are grateful for the publishing world for letting you go to become a restaurateur.
Exactly.
And, As a last note, it's about a 7 or 8 minute walk from the Piazza Spagna if you walk quickly. It's about a 2 minute walk from the Piazza del Popolo.
Yes, it's
if
true.
You walk slowly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very convenient location. It's a little bit hard to find because the numbers on Via Murgata run out.
Yes, it's
and then you get to the end and this is number 3, but there is a sign on the door that says number 1D is sinistra.
Yes, it's true, because normally we have a courtyard, but in the winter time it's closed because of the weather. So the entrance is number 1.
Number 1D, it says.
Yes, it's
and it's
true.
Around the corner
around
from
the corner.
From the north end of the Via Murgata. If you start at the other end as we did, it will take you about 7 minutes to walk the length of the street, which is a nice place to visit anyway, I believe.
Yes,
they have some kind of antique fair and book fair.
Yes, Via Margutta is famous because it was, and now it is, the place in which a lot of painters have had their studios. It's an ancient street that it's remain in some way not too much touristic because there are not a lot of shop, jeans and so on. So
this is a place you have to put a dot on the map as you explore the tourist areas of the Piazza del Popolo down to Piazza Spagna. You have no excuse but to stop at Babette and you will have a wonderful time. Even if you arrive after 3, they will still accommodate you, I guess.
Of course.
Sylvia, we just had such a wonderful time. Thank you so much.
Thank you to you. I am sorry because my English is not so good anyway.
Oh, your English is better than my Italian.
You did a wonderful job. Now, you can also, of course, come for dinner.
Sure. Yes. But for dinner, we have only the menu à la carte.
Okay. Right. And dinner is 7 days a week?
Yes, it's 7 days a week.
Sylvia,
What is your best favorite dish?
But I suppose for what concerns pasta, especially mainly pasta, there is one dish that is pasta made with saffron, a zucchini, and a cream of pistachios.
Oh, that sounds fabulous.
It's really
we'll be
very
back.
Good.
Okay. Thank you so much, Sylvia.
Thank you to you.
Welcome back to On the Menu with Anne and Peter Haig. We're continuing to stroll through restaurants in Rome, eating, drinking, laughing, enjoying it. I must say that the
last segment's a special test for you, because by now you've listened to people struggling with our native language and doing a very good job of it, or with help with translation going along. So we decided as a special treat for you, we'd bring you something really genuine. It turns out it's the place we went on Christmas Day.
And what was her name? I've been trying to think of it.
Franca Leonardi.
Right.
There's a picture of you and Franca and me. I just put on the website.
Oh, great.
Taken on Christmas Day.
It was a wild place.
In front of a picture of some of their famous guests.
Yeah, her favorite was actually Barbara Bush.
Yeah, she liked Barbara Bush. I thought she liked Slick Willie Clinton,
well,
too.
She did like him, too.
She thought he was pretty good.
See, Barbara, you see, was a mama also.
Okay, so all the top people have been there, and, of course, now on the menu has actually been there 3 or 4 times before. So it was a surprising and a wonderful day. It was Christmas Day. It was lunchtime. It was busy. It was a little insane. So, listeners, we have a little test for you. You're going to test your schoolboy or schoolgirl or tourist Italian. I think it's pretty clear.
She was supposed to be speaking Italian and English, and she did not. And also, the translator did not. So, therefore, there we were.
So here you go. Test your Italian. And regardless, make sure you get the information that I included in the interview as to how to get there, because this is another place you're sure to want to include in your travels around
Rome. And I think
Rome.
That above all, everyone will understand that we had a good time.
if you come away with an impression that we were not having a good time, I'll be very surprised. And that'll be the end of today's program, but don't forget, we'll be back same time, same place next week. We'll sign off anyway, but I want to mention right now, before you tune this out, because you get tired of struggling with the Italian, that we will be back same time, same place next week with more on Rome and the fashionable of Veneto and places to stay and eat and drink.
We are in this wonderful restaurant that we've frequented over the years called Da Sabatino a San Ignazio. And we have the pleasure, not only of eating here, but of talking to its owner, Franca. And you're going to tell us the story of how old is this restaurant? Quanti anni?
Allora, io sono proprietaria del ristorante da 46 anni, dal 1963, compreso insieme a mio marito Sabatino Pantalone.
Ah, sì.
Abbiamo creato questo ristorante, abbiamo 4 figli, 12 nipoti. Nel mio ristorante è passata tutta la storia del mondo, anche il presidente Bill Clinton.
Yeah,
il presidente,
Clinton was here.
Sì,
yeah.
Il presidente dell'Ucraina, presidente della Bielorussia, russo, e tutte le personalità politici di Roma e del mondo.
So this is a very important gathering place for a lot of power.
Came here, but is a restaurant very important in Rome.
Sì, è molto importante.
And the food is fabulous. I mean, we can say over and over again, the food is fabulous. Il cibo è favoloso.
Una favola, come una favola.
Come cioè, una favola, sì. Come il nostro matrimonio del ristorante è come una favola. Una favola che si è realizzata, che noi abbiamo avuto tante soddisfazioni, sia nel lavoro che nella famiglia e nel materiale. Sì. Tante soddisfazioni. E seguitiamo adesso, segue il mio lavoro le due figlie mie, Aurora Pantalone e Luigina Pantalone. Mannon avanti il ristorante fino a 300 anni.
Yeah. And it's a family restaurant, and we notice the families come here. Le famiglie vanno qui.
Sì, sì.
È molto accettabile.
Sì, sì, sì. La mia famiglia continua. Ancora, a nome di Aurora Pantaloni, Luigina Pantaloni, Lorenzo Pantaloni, Loreta Pantaloni e tutti gli eredi di Pantalone Sabatino.
Ah sì?
Sì, tutti gli eredi.
And your special day, la specialità.
La specialità del nostro locale sono gli antipasti, specialissimi.
Io
poi abbiamo la pasta delle paste. Ci abbiamo
appetizer.
Sì. Antipasti, sì, antipasti speciali. I primi piatti sono fettuccine ai funghi, matriciana, carbonara, ravioli. Sì. Sì, pizza.
Yeah.
E poi c'è di carne, ci abbiamo la bacchia al forno, lo chateaubriand, la tagliata di manzo. Vitella al forno con patate, sgaloppine, saltimbocca, chateaubriand, è compreso da
menu long,
menu internazionale,
ah, sì.
Molto quasi. E di dessert facciamo il soufflé al formaggio,
cheese,
tiramisù, sì, crepe, poi facciamo il mille foglie speciale e poi tutta la frutta.
And molto pesce, very much fish, yes.
Sì, fish, scampi.
Let's say, where are we here? We are near the Pantheon? Vicino dove?
Vicino alla carne. Il pesce sta che viene dalla paranza di Fiumicino. Vivo, sì.
Okay.
Spigole, orate, calamari, gamberi reali, vongole veraci. Cozze, tutto il pesce.
And we had lamb. Abbiamo mangiato abbraccio.
La brace? Che abbraccio. Cosa ha mangiato? Carne alla brace, bistecca, lombata?
Lamb.
Melle, abbacchio?
Abbacchio.
Sì?
Abbacchio,
sì. Allo scottadito, alla griglie, abbacchi allo scottadito.
Ah,
sì.
And it's local.
Sì, 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 okay. Sì, 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 sì.
And two of the most important things about this restaurant. First of all, we should have started out by saying we're here on Christmas Day. But over the internet we found out that this restaurant is open not just on Christmas Day, but every day.
Sì, sì.
Sì, you are
sì.
Open every day.
Sì, ogni giorno, Natale, Capodanno, Pasqua, agosto, sempre aperto il nostro ristorante.
And you can find it not easily because it's on a small street but it's very close to the Pantheon and very close to the Colon of Marcus Aurelius. And we have another translator moving in now. I think the most important thing is I was just explaining how this restaurant isn't easy to find, but it's not difficult to find. So I said it's
difficile trovare un ristorante così, ma
sì, è molto difficile. Molto difficile, perché questo è un locale, un ristorante fondato dalle nostre radici, capito? È stato fondato giorno per giorno in 46 anni.
With our family in 47 years.
46 anni, yeah. Parla lì.
No, there's no question. It's a special place. I was talking about direction, direction-wise. If people were trying to find the place, it's right across a little piazza from the Church of San Ignacio, and it's about 5 minutes walk from the Pantheon, and it's about 5 minutes.
Piazza Venezia, Piazza Colonna. Noi stiamo nel centro.
The other landmark for us was the Colon de Marcus Aurelius.
Sì. Piazza Sant'Ignazio, sì.
So it's, and I think there is a website. You have a website.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Tu parla qui. Sì, da Sabatino.
Okay.
Sabatino.
So yeah, let me read it out carefully. It's www.dasabatino.it, dasabatino.it. Folks, you just got to come here. When you're in Rome, you have to come here early in your trip, because most likely you'll want to come back a second and a third time. So the sooner you start to find out what a great place this is, the better off you will be. And of course, Franca will be here, and Aurora will be here, and Laura will be here, and Paola will be here. And it's a wonderful family affair, and what a wonderful place for us to have and to enjoy Christmas Day. Buon Natale.
Buon Natale. Grazie.
Grazie. Grazie.
Well, this really is the end of the program. We hope you had a wonderful time with us and reliving our adventure and mapping out, of course, an adventure that you can follow for yourselves, whatever time of the year you choose to go to the Eternal City. And we'll be back same time, same place next week with more from that same wonderful city.
Bye-bye.